I'm ready. You're ready. What more do we need? Exactly. Okay. Excuse me. Siftes Zion. We have four tzifim to go. We're not leaving this room until we finish four tzifim.
We all text our wives and say we'll see you tomorrow.
We will endeavor to daven ma'ariv l'chachila before chatzos, not tomorrow. The test Zion is that we really learned most of this sifting. We're just going to do a little chazara and point out some of the bishul aspects that maybe we didn't pay attention to at the time. But this is, of course, the big machlokas about the isser of a molid or nolad and imraskin sashel gesavarad. The Beis Yosef quotes from here that the smag and the the smag and others argued about a melting fat. So here we have, what about melting fat in on the fire? So the smag said mutter, and the Rambam seems pretty clear. Mutter, and the Rambam says Rashi's also mutter, etc. Because the isser is only to manually bimrasik shalim barav. As we already discussed, we're not going to chapter that. So the says the smag and the Ramban and many others mutter because isser is only to be mirasik biyadayim. The Ramban even what?
It's not
directly on. So let's assume. let's come back to that in a second. Okay, give me a second. Okay, the melting fat on the fire. Is it usser because of ein meraskin es hasheleg? Right, as Rafi points out, that there are other reasons you could also think it's usser. Is it usser because of ein meraskin es hasheleg? Says the Smag, the Ramban, and others. No, it is. It is who's the Beragola quotes. Okay, Ramban and Smag and Smag and Rabbi Yerucham and many others. Great. Because the isser is only to manually melt things, not to let them melt on their own. The Ramban adds, the Ramban is matir af l'rasik biyadayim. The Ramban is even matir risik biyadayim. Why is the Ramban even matir risik biyadayim? Because here we're talking about fat. Kevan did the olam okelhu vilomashka. Okay, the Ramban even goes further and says, fat, you're allowed to be morasic even be a diet. Why? Because the whole problem is getting a mashka out of an okel, like when you do schita. And fat is always an okel, whether it's liquid or solid, it's always an okel. It's not a mashka, it's not a drink. Both of these are quoted in the Taz, Sivkat and Chafalf, as well as obviously in the Beis Yosef. At first he quotes that the Smag says it's mutter because you're not doing it biyadayim, and then he says the Ramban is even more makel and says the Shuman is always an ochel, you can even squeeze a biyadayim. However, the Sefer HaTruma and the Rush and the Ran, they follow the Sefer Truma and say that it is usser because of Nolad. And we mentioned the whole issue of Molad, Nolad, the Pun of Eros, I'm not going to chazer that. How do we paskin in terms of this before I get to Rafi's very, very, very important question?
says the mechaber mutar litin in panda kineged ish makom sheyav selesbo v'yalpin shurim shabbos shenikrash choser v'ni moach. You're allowed to put in panda as a meat pipe near the fire in makom sheyav selesbo, even though the shuman inside, the fat, will melt. So the mechaber, he doesn't say you're allowed to melt fat with your hands by squishing it. He doesn't go as far as the Rabban, but he does say there's no problem to passively melt things. That's why Sfardim have no problem passively melting things. The Ramah adds, "V'kol shegein kedei rishish barotiv shenikrash," and he says, "For sure, this is based on Beis Yosef. For sure, this is talking about if you just have a meat pie, but it's full of fat, and the fat's gonna ooze out. For sure, it's mutter if you have a pot of soup." That's rotev, that's liquid, that also has congealed fat. That obviously it's mutter to heat up a pot of soup with congealed fat, because when the congealed fat melts, it goes into the soup, and then it's not nicker, and we know you're allowed to melt ice into a cup of water. But v'yesh machmirim, says our mav v'yesh machmirim. And the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah point out the machmirim or machmirim not only if the fat melts and just makes a new collection of liquid. They're machmir even if the fat melts into the soup. Why? It's not nicker. Didn't we say you're allowed to melt ice into your Coke, etc.? Because fat and soup don't really mix so well. The fat stays on top because fat is oil-based and soup is water-based. And therefore, since they don't mix so well, so it's not considered to go in, be absorbed into the soup. It's a separate layer. It's a separate layer. Like first, there's the soup, and then on top of it is the fat. And therefore, we are machmir. And says the Ramah, "Nogel lahachmir miyum makom tzarich lishis v'gasvara rishona." So this is the Ramah, and the Ramah b'makom tzarich says there's no problem, like most rishonim, that there's no iser maraskin sasheleg. If you do it passively, however, Ashkenazim, if you're not sif, it's not a makom tzorech. So we're a machmir that you can't even passively melt things. Okay, that's all begedur chazara. One other chazara about the iser of nolad is what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in sif katan. I guess we'll have two other heterim. Sifkatan Kohei, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a kula for the Taz. He says, V'chein mutter lehachem b'shabes chatichas basar shamein af alfisha mektsaso zav. You're allowed to warm up on Shabbos fat meat, even though a little gravy will seep out of it. Kim d'remuad hu anifshalo chashav v'shari. Since it's just a little, it's not chashav, and it is mutter. This is a very important heter. Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Taz, really comes to Beis Yosef. A little is not a problem. The a little is not a problem because that's not chashav and that's not considered a new thing. It's just sort of a bottle to the food. So if you get a little gravy, I mean, whenever you warm up things that are fatty, inside there's like fat that when it gets hot melts and sort of comes out. Okay, there's always a little liquid that comes out. That liquid is like batel, it's not kosher, it's not considered a new thing, no problem. And that's why halacha lemaisa, right? Even though anything you warm up on Shabbos, at least a tiny bit of liquid will seep out and will make a new liquid. And isn't that also Ashkenazim? The answer is no. It's only also there's a significant amount, not if there's an insignificant amount. And therefore, the Taz says that this means halacha lemaisa. If you have, let's say, chicken congealed gravy or whatever you have, something with congealed gravy, and you only take the chicken and not eating the congealed gravy, like you just take a solid piece of chicken, even though you know inside there's stuff that's going to come out and make gravy when you warm it up, that's no problem, because if you don't actually see congealed gravy, you just have what's inside the piece, that is so small that it's not chashuv, and there's no iser on that.
Is that, I guess, another thing, what if you don't see it when you put it on, but then when after it heats up, it becomes a pool, a pool around it, meaning...
You mean, what if you don't congeal the gravy, but this dish happens to be so fatty that when you warm it up, it gets a tremendous amount of gravy?
Or enough that it just looks hanging around. I mean, That'd be us, because then...
Well, if it's just a little, then I think that's what the Mishnah Berurah is being made of. Obviously, Mitzasso Zav, a little seeps out of it. Came to Remur, who an Ifshar, I understand. In the base Yosef, he said, just a little, no problem. You're not going to see it. It's just going to be absorbed in, etc. But the Mishnah Berurah goes a little further. He says, even if it does seep out, since it's just a Dover Muad, it's not Choshev and it's Mutter. What if you happen to have some weird recipe where it creates a tremendous amount of gravy that I think would be Usher? But even if, let's say, you look at the pan after you warm piece of chicken or schnitzel, and there's like a little sheen of gravy, or little drops of gravy, but not like a real significant amount, that you would say, oh, you know, let's pour some gravy. Let's take this gravy and pour it on the rice or something, an insignificant amount, then even if you can see it, the minhag is like it sounds for the Mishnah Berurah. Even if you see that some gravy came out of it, if it's an insignificant amount, the gzeira doesn't apply. The gzeira of Noah doesn't apply to an insignificant amount, and therefore it's fine. One other interesting kula, it's a very interesting kula, is in Sifkat and Kuf Vav. Do you did you bring the Rav Nemtzal? Great. Okay, just. You're prepared to read what he says on Mishnah Berurah and Kuf Vav, okay? Says Mishnah Berurah and Kuf Vav, Umikol Makom, this is based on the Magen Avraham. Umikol Makom, says the Mishnah Berurah, Kodem, keep in mind, for Ashkenazim, what's this problem? For Ashkenazim, this problem of warming up the congealed gravy is a problem of molid. Right? And it's Berlokum Tzorech Bermekel, so it's just bad to get a chumra for Ashkenazim. So the Rama is Oser is a chumra. How do we know he's only Oser is a chumra, not Meikar Din? Because Berlokum Tzorech he's Mekel. Since it's only Oser is a chumra, says the Magen Avraham, well, if you put it on a cold stove before the guy lights the fire, then it's okay. He says, but don't do it in front of an Amma Arutz, you might misunderstand, and maybe you have a guy put it on. He restricts it a lot. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't restrict it as much. Says the Mishnah Berurah Kovav Mikol Makom Kodem Shehusak Hataner Moto Aniach Bashdida Kiva the Yesh Matir Nafilu Acharkach Vein Lasos Came Bifnei Am Haaretz Magen Avraham V'Shar Chronim. On a cold stove, before the stove turns on, it's mutter to put this pashtida, even though the fat will melt. Why? Because Yesh Matirin. Because really, Makom Tzorach would be Mekel Lagamri, right? Really, the Ashkenazim would be reading the Sfardim here. We really don't like the Sefer Truma. It's just we're machir like the Sefer Truma. So we're machir like the Sefer Truma. Don't actually put it on a hot stove. But to put it on a cold stove that then someone will light, that's okay, but don't do it in front of an Am Haaretz because it's too confusing. So this is a very interesting pattern. First of all, why is it much for anyone to light a stove on Shabbos? Like, how does your stove get lit on Shabbos in the case of Mishnah Berurah?
The heat, four times.
Exactly. What? A guy would light it. Why is it much for a guy to light your stove on Shabbos? Because in the old days, they didn't have, electric and gas and whatever heaters. They just had a fire, and it was very cold in the winter. And obviously, it's only talking about the winter. It was very cold in the winter in Eastern Europe, or even Central Europe, or even Western Europe, except we live in Central and Eastern Europe. And there's a principle that kol chol and eitzel hatzina, tzina, cold, we're all considered sick people. If it's cold, because if it's cold you get sick, and therefore you're allowed to tell a goy to light the fire when it's cold, because that's considered a makam chol, and makam chol you're allowed to tell a goy to do malach on Shabbos. That's explicit in the Gemara. Okay, so in Europe they would always have a goy light the stove on Shabbos. So what's the kula here? You could take this congealed dish with congealed fat and put it. You could take this dish with congealed fat and put it on the cold stove. When you know the guy, you know the guy's routine. When you know the guy is coming soon to light the stove, and then when the guy lights the stove, the guy will be melting the fat, and that's okay. That's okay. Basically, the guy will be melting the fat. It won't even be his main intention. He'll just be melting the fat as like a secretia, right?
It's not really not free at all.
And we don't worry about the fact that you're like the goring for this to happen. We don't worry about the fact that it's like I'm Yerla Nachri. We're Mekel, even though we wouldn't say you could put raw food. Meaning, no one said you could put raw food on the cold stove and have the guy come and light it. No. No one says you can do that. A, because it's us sort of like participating in the judicial process. And B, because like you're having the good yulacha for you.
But in this case, since really it's mutter to heat this congealed fat, it's just a chumra that we're mapping like the sefer truma.
And after all, we're making mukham sorech.
Likewise, we're making, if you do it in a very indirect way, and here it's a very indirect way because you're putting it on a cold stove, so you're doing nothing. And even the guy comes, you're not telling him to heat this up, and his main intention is not to heat this up, it's just a side effect. His main intention is to keep you warm, and therefore we're makel.
Would there be an issue, let's say you might have congealed that on the chicken or on a piece of meat, you want to take it off, is there an issue with borer by taking off the fat?
So the Taz says explicitly, Havia by Yosef, the same sefer truma, that if you throw the congealed fat in, do you have the one that I have? So on page 8, Lamed Zayin, the last line of Taz, in the middle, the Hegbi Yisrael Shem HaTruma, then Shafach L'chutz HaMayim V'Shumim Shebesucha Motu L'Chamim V'Shabes HaPashtida. So what does he say? You're allowed to heat it up if you get rid of all the congealed fat. Now what does that mean? You get rid of the congealed fat on Shabbos, it sounds like. I mean, he doesn't say explicitly, but it definitely sounds like on Shabbos, and I think the poskim assume that, yeah, that would be considered the altar. That would be considered alter, but you have to do it in a way that's taking the ochel from the... Well, you have two choices. Going back to Borer. Either, if it's not really mixed at all, like they're clearly just separate pieces, then it's not a problem with Borer. But let's say it's mixed. Let's say mamish, like the chicken is submerged in congealed fat, which is like all over it. And that would be considered a real tarovis. So there's many pieces of chicken and a lot of congealed fat, and that's considered tarovis. Like, it really looks mixed. Then you would have to do it la'alter right before you heat it up, which is right before you eat it, even though it might take a while to heat up. But right before you heat it up to eat it, you'd have to do it with your hands, obviously, and you have to ochel mitoch solus. What would you have to do? You'd have to not scoop, even though here he says shafach l'chutz, but you'd have to not scoop. So maybe don't bring any rice and borer for him, but not take the fat out of the pan, but you'd have to take the chicken out of the pan. You have to take the chicken out of the pan. Oh, what if it still has fat stuck to it? So the post can say you can, like, shake it, and that's not considered solus mitoch ochel. That's what you'd have to do. Obviously, it's easier to just have the chicken without the congealed fat on Friday. Or even if you eat it on Friday night, don't put it back in the pan with the fat.
But if it is in a pan with congealed fat, so the post can say you're allowed to do, it's not a problem with borer, this is still considered la'alter, even though it's 2 hours before you're ready to eat. That's still considered la'alter, because that's the normal way that you prepare it. That you get ready to eat chicken, that's still considered la'alter, but you have to take the chicken out of the fat and maybe shake it, and not the fat out of the chicken.
So, if someone puts a plata, which I think is nice to call young, but it's put your plata on a timer, and let's say at 8 o'clock it's supposed to go on.
Great question. So, before I call on Rafi, right, Rafi sees where I'm going here, what's the kula? The kula is mutter. Right, lasum lor lehaniach. What's the lashon of Mishabura? His lashon is kodem shehusak hatamer. Kodem shehusak hatamer. Avolo bifnei am haaretz. Right. What's the problem with the am haaretz? The problem is, it's why we, Talmidei Chachamim, who learn Torah, know the difference between things that look like tricks that really work halachically and things that look like tricks that really are asur halachically. The Am Haaretz, once he sees people pulling tricks, he won't know the difference between things that make halachic sense and things that don't make halachic sense. He'll just say, oh, we can fool around. And then he'll start doing all kinds of chol Shabbos and think that it's okay if he just does it in a tricky fashion. Okay, now, here's the interesting question. Is this kula also apply, not to wants to know, for we don't have goyim turning on our stoves. But we do have platas on a timer, so can I put on the plata before the timer goes on? It's a valid question, right? Yeah?
We're talking about putting a salad on.
Salad!
But the issue is that it technically becomes, like...
Okay, hold that thought. So can I put it on the plata before the plata goes on? It seems awfully similar, right? It is, but it isn't. On the one hand, maybe it's awfully similar to this case, because the point is I'm not, like, directly melting it. I'm just putting it someplace where something will cause it to melt in the future.
On the other hand, maybe you could say a plata is a little more chomer. There's a few places we'll see in Rishon Gimel. This kula of kodesh and huska taner. The big question is, can we use that kula for platas also? Lemaisa, if I understand correctly, in the Mahadran hotels, they do not use this kula for platas. But in the non-Mahadran hotels, they use a lot of kulas based on the study of Kodun Shusukatan, or things that we haven't gotten to until we get to Rishon Gimel, that before the time plata goes on, you're allowed to do a lot of things. This is one of them. Why is it not so pashut? Because on the one hand, it's not turned on yet. On the other hand, it's going to turn on by itself automatically. Like, I'm not waiting for someone else to show up. Like, I can't say someone else did it. Oh, here I have to say the guy did it. Here, I'm clearly doing it, because I know what's going to go on. So what does the Nemesal say on the Mishnah Berurah Kofav? Oh, Yishon Shabbat. He's Mekel. Says Rav Nemesal. I haven't seen everyone discuss this. I'm sure a lot of people discuss this. But I haven't seen everyone. Says Rav Nemesal. Oh, Kodem She Yidalek HaPlata Al Yidei Sha'on Shabbat. That is it's not such a big kula because, like, it does seem pretty much equivalent. It's not exactly equivalent because, like, you're not waiting for someone else to do it. It's all set up. But still, it does seem awfully similar. So Nemetzal is makel on that as well. Okay, not in front of Nahoritz, but Nemetzal is makel. Now, again, nowadays, many people are makel, many people are macher on that. But Lemaisa, if it seems to be the minhag olam, is I don't see people doing this.
It's negative.
Okay. But let's say you put an aplat on top of something, etc., etc. Let's say you took care of that. I'll come back to that in a second.
So maybe he's only saying he's cool by that.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, maybe Batsiris first. Anyway, Lemaisa, there's definitely, even though I think the minhag normally, maybe just because if you don't do it in front of the Haaretz, you don't want to make a normal routine out of it because people misunderstand, etc. But, Me'ikar Din, if Rav Nemetzal says a Shabbos Kach is the same as a Goy, therefore, there would really be room to be makel that even if something in congealed fat that's going to liquefy and it's going to be usher according to Sefer Truma, since the Sefer Truma is just a chomer anyway, we really don't hold like the Sefer Truma, therefore there would be room to be makel before the Shabbos clock turns on the plata. Again, dealing with that difference, which I'm going to discuss in half a second. But there would be room to be makel, even, I know this is not his exact case, there would be room to make a leave-in to like put something with congealed fat on the plata while it's off before it turns on, based on Rav Nemetzal's yisod that he equates a Shabbos clock to a goy, and whatever's much before a goy lights the stove is much before a Shabbos clock lights the stove, and then that would be a big kula. I think the minhag olam is not to do this, meaning people's houses, I've never seen people do this.
Yeah. Huge kula.
It would be a huge kula. I've seen them do this in, this is what everyone does in non-Mahajan hotels. That's how they all have the food, even with the gravy on Shabbos morning. right? How do they have food with gravy on Shabbos morning in the non-Mahajan hotels? They put on the plata before it turns on. Okay, some of them do like the Magen Avraham, have a goy put on the plata, some of them like the Mishnah Berurah, have a Jew put it on the plata. In the Mahadur hotels, they don't do this. So clearly, it's not the most Mahadur thing, not to mention the fact you're not supposed to do it in front of the Nava Aretz, and everyone who works in the hotels is an Nava Aretz. But, Lemaisa, if one needed to, or if someone wanted, felt they wanted a kula, they're definitely room to be makel, that before the Shabbos clock turns on, you wouldn't have to worry about this issue of no lud, and you could even put things in the
fact. And Nama Aretz, who does do this, let's say you go to someone's house and you notice that they did do it, you're not going to...
That's a good question, meaning if the Nama Aretz is doing what he's doing in front of the Nama Aretz. Alright, Lemaisa, it's probably not diplomatic to tell someone that what they're doing is a problem because they're in Nama Aretz. I think we give someone the benefit of the doubt and assume maybe they're not an Amaretz. Yes?
What are we afraid of the Amaretz seeing?
We're afraid the Am Ha'aretz sees you put it on before it lights the stove, and then he's going to think you can put it on after the stove is lit, or he's going to think you can put on other things before you light the stove that you really can't. No, he's going to think that there's a broader Hector than it really is.
And he's going to end up, but he sees just like a, he doesn't look at like the PG old dad, he doesn't see what...
Yeah, I'm around, so much smarter than you give him credit for. Okay,
now... As Rafa points out, etc., this is basically the Vart of Milt. There are other halachic issues about melting fat on the fire. There are other halachic issues here. What other halachic issues could there be in melting fat on the fire? Anyone?
Bishul.
After all, but it's already cooked. But, right. So, there are two other halachic issues. Is it, this is first halachic issue, the second one, is it usur because of bishul achar bishul? Well, obviously not, because the machaber is very machaber bishul achar bishul, what matters it? Even the Ramah matches it, but in Tzorah. No one's going to match your bishul but in Tzorah, but which achron? Assers and thinks it is a problem with Bishul? No.
Levush.
Yes, the Magen Avraham, quoting the Levush, says the Levush, it is Asser because it's considered Lach. Thus our sofa, we follow the end. Since in the end it will melt and be liquid, it's going to melt, and once it melts, it's liquid, and now you're re-cooking your cold liquid. You're not allowed to reheat a cold liquid. So how come the Shulchan Aruch said it was mutter, according to the Levush? So how can the Shulchan Aruch say it's mutter? What does the Levush have to do? As a desperate move, he has to take out his red pen and fix up the Shulchan Aruch a little. Right, Kotzel, Levush Yesh Tos Sofer. No, there's a mistake in our Shulchan Aruch. We have to fix it up a little. All right, it's not mostly Echron, don't buy it. Tzorech Lom Rokom She'ena Yatzel Letesvo. Therefore, says the Levush, and because, and therefore, it's Mutter according to Mechaber. And according to the Ramah, b'makom tzorech, only b'makom she'ein hayat soledes bo. Meaning, he says, oh, you know what? This whole kula, makom tzorech, etc., etc., forget it. This is all an issue official. The only reason why they discuss this here is we're talking about not yat soledes bo. But if we yat soledes bo, that's also good official, akar bishul b'lach. However, that's not what it says in our machaber. That's not what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, "Makom she'ayad so let us bow." So therefore, what does the Magen Avraham say? What does the Magen Avraham say?
Rejects the Levush.
And most Achronim. He says it's mutter. There's no problem with Bishul Achar Bishul here. That's why the Mechaber was only worried about Nolan. He wasn't worried about Bishul Achar Bishul. Why not? Because it's considered nata yavish. This is what's called basar tchilaso. Yes, it will turn into lach, but right now it's yavish. And he says, we don't go by what it'll be later. We go by what it is now, and now it is yavish. And therefore, even though it will melt, there's no problem with bishalach or bishal, because it started out yavish, and ain't bishalach or bishal with dover yavish. And therefore, it's mutter even... And therefore, it's much or even makom sheyatzel letis bo. Therefore, it's much or, according to the Mechaber, and according to Ramah, ben makom tzorech, afilu ben makom shehayad so letis bo. Yes?
So it's kind of funny. No, because machlokas then is just whether you go after the end of the beginning.
Yes.
Is that a machlokas outside of this one? Is that a bigger machlokas, or is just?
I mean, you have this issue all over Shas, but I wouldn't say that it's connected necessarily. Meaning, you look in Baba Kama when you go by the end of the beginning. I don't know that I would say that's connected to here. Simple, yeah. I mean, you never know. Like Miss Thumma, there's a Rebbe somewhere who says it is connected. Yeah, simple shot is, no, there's a local machlokas here. Le'enyan, bishlach, or bishl, we differentiate between lach and yavish, doesn't depend what it ends up being or what it is now.
Is there more of a fundamental, which is, you know, whether
it's the mistama there is, but it's hard to figure out exactly what it is, I must admit. Mistama there is more of a fundamental something, but it's not so possible to figure out what that fundamental something is, especially since it's going to depend on another machlokas we'll see in a second. The taz I point out in Sivkat and Chaf, it's a very hard taz to totally follow properly. But if you look in the Achrona, the Luvash, the Sarad, the Prima Gadda, they help you out a little. The taz actually seems to hold like the Luvash, but slightly different. The taz also says it's Usr. How do I know the taz also says it's Usr? Because the taz says, isn't there a problem of cooking the Shuman in the Pashtida? And he says, well, it's okay, because it's like Al-Yidei Shinoi, etc., etc. Why doesn't he just say In Bishal or Bishal? So the Taz seems to look like the Lavash. But he doesn't make a Haggah in the... he doesn't make a Haggah in the Shulchan Aruch. Instead, he comes up with his big Chiddushir. How does the Taz deal with the Shulchan Aruch? Why does the Shulchan Aruch matter Makar Sheyatso Lettuce Bow? If... it's considered liquid in Yesh Bishalach or Bishalach. So what does the Taz say? So the Taz has this big chiluk in this Taz of Katan Chaf. This is what? Or maybe on the Shinoi, but a little more. Says the Taz and mutter even in a makom that is Yad Soled Isbo, but can't heat the Shuman to Yad Soled Isbo. Here he makes this big chiluk. He says, the difference between the Makom is Yad Soled Isbo and when the Shuman will reach Yad Soled Isbo, which is a tricky thing, because I'm not sure if practically, that's such a big difference. I mean, it's the difference of a few degrees. Is that such a big, significant difference? I'm not sure. I think this Taz is dochuk. This Taz is dochuk, that all of a sudden he thinks the Gemara and the Rishonim, Beis Yosef, are dealing with the difference between whether the Makom Tiatzolest or whether the food will be Tiatzolest. Well, that's not mainstream. And, I don't know, yet there's a scientist. Maybe it's not even a significant practical difference.
Is that even possible that...
Oh, yeah, of course it's possible, because every time heat transfers, you lose a little. So if the place was like barely Yatzel Lettuce Bow, and you put a Pashtida, then the Pashtida might be barely under Yatzel Lettuce Bow. But it's still a little Dochuk. Okay, then Lavash and Taz are both Dochuk. They're both Dochuk. The Lavash has to rewrite the Shulchan Aruch, and the Taz has to make this Chiluk. I mean, it's a logical Chiluk, but we never find that this is discussed in the Gemara that we've shown him. The Taz says, what did the Mechaber mean by Smutter Mutter Shiatzel Lettuce Bow? He means his mutter if the place is the Atzoletis bow, but the Shuman won't get cooked. And all they're going to say, but that means that the Shuman won't reach Atzoletis bow. That's a dachuk read in the Mechaber. When he said Makom Shiatzoletis bow, he means only Makom Shiatzoletis bow, but the Shuman won't get Yatzoletis bow. Like, out of all the Makomos that Yatzoletis bow, he meant like the 1% of them that are so barely Yatzoletis bow that the Shuman won't get hot there. That's very dachuk. Basically, and it's not just in the Mechaber, meaning all the Mechaber is just summarizing Rishonim. Both the Lavush and the Taz are very dochuk. I understand where they're coming from. They say the result depends on the end. In the end, you have a reheated liquid. So how is it mutter to reheat a liquid? It's also to reheat a liquid. Oh, why did the Mechaber matter? He must have really meant to write in Yatzel Lettuce Bow. Or he wrote Yatzel Lettuce Bow, but he meant the funny kind of Yatzel Lettuce Bow that won't actually make something Yatzel Lettuce Bow. Those are both very dochuk. Simple shot is like the Magen Avraham. No. The Magen Avraham says the Mechaber meant... Yatzel Lettuce Bow, and it's no problem to reheat this. Why? Because even though it ends up being a reheated liquid, as it's getting reheated, it's a solid. You're really reheating a solid and then turning it into a liquid. Reheating a solid is mutter.
Once it's mutter, we heat a solid. Why is it bad to turn it into a liquid? And therefore, the Mishavura Paskins, who does the Mishavura Paskin like? The Magen Avraham Rav Avush. He doesn't even quote a machlokas. Says the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat and Kuf, Hupashtida, Nisit's Kar Bekamim Komos. This is something you should know, especially for Ishan Gibel. In Patan is Pashtida mentioned in many places. What does Pashtida mean in modern Hebrew?
Breaking?
No.
Porridge?
Something wrong with me? I thought Pashtida meant Kogel.
We're Americans.
Okay, Pashtida in modern day Hebrew means Kogel. That's not what it means in the Rishonim and Achronim. Rishonim and Achronim, it means a meat pie. That's what we have here. So Pashtida means a meat pie. Hanisker Bekam and Komos, who Paskfulo, he says, Paskfulo Mulo Bechatikol Shuman. It's a folded up bread, right, pie, which is filled with pieces of fat. You're warming it up. The reason why it's mutter, since it's cold, even though it got cooled off, there's no problem with bishul. Doesn't it melt again? So bishul. When you put it on, it's no problem. He doesn't even quote the levush. He just says, "Manevram in Chazkom and Drisha to Sev Shabbos, Mar Mordechai Vagraz, the local Voshvetaz." Okay, they get the local Voshvetaz in the Sharet Zion. So the Mishnah Brura paskins that we do not pass like these Dochik Pshatim of the Voshvetaz. Rather, we pass like Rov Achronim who follow the Manevram. Therefore, it's not a Chash of Bishul. It's only a Chash of Molid. And since it's only a chashav molid, therefore, makom tzarich, we can be nekel, and kodesh musikatana, we can be nekel, we can feel free to have a lot of kulas, because it's not a chashav bishul, it's only a chash of molid. Now, before we leave bishul, I have to make one other hara. The middle case of the Ramah, says the Mechaber, you're allowed to put a fatty meat pie, even though it'll like make a pool of gravy. And says the Rambah, Kol Shekein, you're allowed to heat soup with congealed gravy on top. And the congealed gravy just melts into the soup. And then in the end, Ashkenaz and Ramah, we're not to do that, for the congealed gravy won't melt into the soup, it'll just stay on top. Okay, hold on. Says the Magen Avraham in Sifkatan Mem Aleph, and says the Mishnah Brura in Sifkatan Kuf Dalid, which is a bit of a chiddush and a pshat lashon of the Mechaber, but possible. He says, what do you mean it's mutter to heat this soup with congealed fat on top? He says, it's mutter mitam molid, because it'll melt in. Which, Ashkenaz, no possible line, but in this line. But it's asher mitam bishlak a bishul of the rotev. So, here you have the case of the pot, and you have rotev, and you have congealed shuman. Says the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura, Aser Mishum Bishul Achar Bishul of the Rotev. It's Aser, because in a Chami, holy Magen Avraham, there's no problem Bishul Achar Bishul of congealed fat, even though it melts. But there's Bishul Achar Bishul on the Rotev. Okay, now one thing is not 1,000,000% clear. What's the status of the rotev? What state is the rotev in when you put it on? So push-up shot, what state is the rotev in when you put it on?
It's cold.
Is it liquid or solid?
Oh, cold.
What phase?
Solid.
Is it liquid or solid, the rotev?
Liquid.
Pashas, it's liquid. Meaning, I thought it has to be liquid. Because the whole point is that the shuman melts into a pre-existing liquid. So pashas, this shuman is liquid. I thought that was very, very...
I thought the shuman was...
And what did you think?
I assumed the
rotev was also congealed.
Yeah.
Why? Because it says, Kedera sheishba rotev shenikrash. Now, what is shenikrash? The kedera was nikrash, the shuman was nikrash, the rotev was nikrash. So this is a big machlok in the Mepharsh and the Magen Avraham, between, for example, Levushe Srad and the Prima Gadim. The Pashat Pshat, and this is what the Levushe Srad says. I'll read you the Levushe Srad on the Magen Avraham Mem Aleph. He says, but Rotev shoot Tzolol, Hayesh Mobishal Adei Rishona, etc. Rotev is Tzolol. He says, the Rotev
starts out liquid. And therefore, obviously, yesh bishel achar bishel. Right? This is, why do I say this is a pashut pshat? Because I think it's mukhrach that the rotzeh have started out liquid. Because the whole point that I'm bringing this case in is that the fat melts into a liquid. If it didn't start out liquid, then what do you mean the fat's melting into a liquid? If it all started out solid, then where's the heter melting into a liquid? Obviously, it started out part liquid and part solid. And that's like putting ice in your Coke. However, Prima Gadim here says a big chiddush lechumra in the Eish Lavram Mem Aleph. He says, "Umash v'lechor af sharotem gam kein nikra sheish bo bishul in mimoach acharkach lo dami l'shuman de uchlahu." So Ian says the efshar kavanas are rotem tzolol l'shuman nikra shal gavav. He's not sure. He's not sure. Is the rotem liquid or is the rotem nikra? So sveiko shel prima gadim. The prima gadim is mesupik. Is that the rotem nikra or the rotem tzolol and the Shuman is Nikrash. I think it's posh in the road to the soul of Shuman and Nikrash. Otherwise, it makes no sense to bring him to the Sefer Truma. But the Prima Gadim is Masopic. What's he Masopic? He's Masopic that says maybe the Rotev also started out congealed. Does Rotev congeal or does it just freeze?
It congeals. I feel like you put
chicken soup? Does chicken soup Rotev, not Shuman? Does. It's a different kind of road, so whatever, let's call it congealed, doesn't matter, right? I don't know exactly what he meant by rotev. Maybe the rotev also started out congealed, and then there's a chiddush, yesh, bishol achar bishol, berotev, shenikrush, afal pi. She'ein bishol achar bishol bishuman shenikrash. That's a big chiddush. Even though there's no bishol achar bishol, he's within the magen Avraham in shuman shenikrash because we go by the beginning. There is bishol achar bishol and rotev shenikrash because we go by the end. That's a big chiddush of the Prima Gadim. It doesn't seem to have a strong basis, and even the Prima Gadim doesn't seem to hold from in the end. But what's the logic? The logic is because shuman is. It is, because it is generally a solid food, as opposed to the rotev, because it is generally a liquid. Meaning the Prima Gadim here is a big fish, which is not of a strong basis. And even the Prima Gadim is not sure that it's right. It seems to reject it in the end. He says, maybe this sheet of the Magen Avraham, they go by the beginning, that's only true when something's fundamentally a solid. That's going to happen to melt. But it's usually used as a solid. Something's usually used as a solid. Even if it happens to melt, we look at it as a yuffish. But if something's usually used as a liquid, then it's going to melt and become a liquid. Maybe we should view it as a liquid and say yesh bishol achar bishol. Meaning what the Prima Gadim does is Prima Gadim restricts this heter to foods usually eaten solid. He says, when do the heter really go by the beginning and we say bishol achar bishol yavish? In a food that's generally solid, like shuman. But in something that's generally like a rotev, like a soup or something, then we wouldn't go so far as to say this heter. So he throws a bit of a monkey wrench into the heter. What's the monkey wrench into the heter? He says, the heter is for shuman, but not for rotev. Now exactly where to draw the line between what's called Shuman, what's called Rotev, and what kind of Rotev were they talking about? But for sure, he says no heter for soup, and not just soup. Like, meaning, for sure, there's no heter, just to give an example. If you have milk, frozen milk, you can't, like, take frozen milk and, you know, put it on the cloth to warm up and say, it started out solid, so ain't bishol achar bishol.
You can take like ice cubes and put it on the plot of the world once they start out solid, eight bishel, half bishel. That's very clear that. No, you can't take this heter too far. You can't take this heter of the mugging of rum too far. For,
Rotate doesn't mean like a large amount of liquid. It means like a very small amount that I feel like could congeal easily.
Yeah, this prima gadim is a. I admit this prima gadim is a chiddush. I admit the prima gadim is a chiddush. But what I would say is, you know, lest someone just get the idea to take this head to the market of rum too far. Like say, what will I do? Instead of putting my soup in the fridge, I'll put it in the freezer. Now that my soup is frozen, then I'll just put it in my klata before the Shabbos klata turns it on and use the heter. No. That far we're not going to go. That's the prima gadim saying, don't take it too far. Don't say, I can take, you know, frozen milk out of my freezer and warm it up and make hot chocolate out of the child this morning, because since I put it on frozen, it's really solid. No, and the Magen Avraham said, we can go by the beginning. That's things that are fundamentally foods, ukhla. And chicken with a little congeal, with congealed fat, then I think that would still be what he calls shuman. But mamish liquids, that far we wouldn't take it. And I think that we would accept this restriction of prima gadim, whether or not his pshat in the mechaber is correct. I think we accept this restriction of the prima gadim, not to real liquids such as soup and drinks. Right, so soup, I don't think you could have this heter and say, I'll put my soup where it's yatsa lettuce bow, and if I'm Sparty, say, oh, I'm Sparty, don't worry about the sefer truma ben nolad, so I'll just put my soup in the freezer before Shabbos, and I'll take it out of the freezer Shabbos morning and put it on my klata. No, that, we don't go by the tchila when it's mamish a soup. He means when it's like a food dish that has some congealed parts in it that might be a little like gravy that goes along with the food or something. But you shouldn't take this too far. Okay. Now, one other thing we have to discuss here is, Rafi's been waiting very patiently, there's a third possible halachic issue with putting your meat pie on the fire. What's the third halachic issue?
Where?
Meaning, forget about bishul, let's assume it's not bishul. And let's assume, hanachla v'chila chazara, right? You can't just put, even if there's no problem bishul or bishul, no problem molid. Even just a potato kugel, no problem, bishul achar bishul, stay solid forever. And no problem of molded, stay solid forever. Even a potato kugel you can't put on the, you can't just stop and put on the fire Shabbos morning. What happens to the iser of, is it usur because of Hanacha lechatchila, even besides bishul and besides molid. So obviously it is. You're not allowed to warm things off Shabbos morning and just take whatever you want to put on the stove or the oven. So therefore, what did the mechaber mean when he says it's mutter? So what's the magic word, Rafi? The magic word in the mechaber is mutter lechatchila padna.
Kneged
ha'ish. Not like mamish on the fire. Right? Keneged ha'esh. What does keneged ha'esh mean? So here it's not so clear, but the Mishnah Brura makes an okemta. He says, agave is a klimaf. So he's talking about kdeira agave kdeira. Meaning, you have to make an okemta that he didn't mamish put on the fire. Right? The reason he didn't say far away is because that's usually called keneged hamadura. You have to make an okemta on the fire, it's asur. The case of Sif Tezayin is Kedera al Gabi Kedera. That's what the Mishnah Brura says. Could he have thought of a different Okimta, maybe? He could have said it's Kedera Madura. You know, you could find like one or two Okimtas of how it would be. I mean, basically, the two classic Okimtas are Kedera al Gabi Kedera or Kedera Madura. That's what we've seen in our Simon. So he says, he doesn't say Kenegan Madura because it sounds like it's more on Kenegan Aish in an oven or something. What?
Who's he?
The Mishnah Brura in Simkatan Kofalev says, Hangel, Gabi is a clean mafsik. What did you read me from that? You want to read me that from Nemetzal again? See what he says there?
Like Kofalev?
No, on Kofalev.
Kofalev.
above.
The one you read me before. Okay, fine, Seder. Okay, doesn't say too much. Anyway, you have to make an okempta, Mishpurz okempta, Skadero, Gabi Kadera, because otherwise, then, even without these two problems, also because of an Achil Achachiv. Okay, so much for Sif Tezayin. Okay, there's a few more details in the Rishonim, but we don't have to get into that now. Yeah. The Sif Yud Zayin doesn't have any condition for us. Aser Litain Tzonain, you're not allowed to put. You're not allowed to put cold food al hamecham on top of a hot pot, meaning kedera gabi kedera afilu lahafshir, even to warm up. Kol shamecham chal kol kach sheilo yiminichasham harbe yibalide bishol, meaning you're not allowed to put cold water or other things on a hot pot just to warm up and take them off after 20 minutes. If it's so hot that if you left it on for an hour it would cook, then it's also to leave it on and take it off 20 minutes. Let's say I want to warm up cold water or something, or cold milk, right? So I can't put it like on top of a kedera gabi kedera and say I'll only leave it there for 10 minutes and take it off before it gets hot, because I might leave it on longer and then it would get boiling, it would get yatzalespo. Because kedera gabi kedera is the same as kenegan amadura, that's what I just said. Basically, Yod Zayin is just repeating exactly Yod Dalet. Right, which is what he says. What does your Dalit say? You want to put them in Keneged Hamadura, which is no problem in Achlach Adchila? Just, what did we just say here? Let's make myself a little box. You know what, Nathan, could you get this board? Then I'll make some Sif Yud Zayin on the next board. Okay. What are we saying in Sif Yud Dalet and Yud Zayin? Sif Yud Dalet and Yud Zayin are talking about Kedera Al Gabi Kedera or Keneged Hamdura. What do these two cases have in common? What they have in common is that there's no problem on Achal Chachila, right? Which are not usher because of Hanacha Lechachila. What kind of foods can I put there? So, fully cooked salads is mutter, because in bishol or bishol, but uncooked or cold cooked liquid, which have an issur of bishol, so what do we say? To heat is usur. To warm, this is the same repeating, so if you know it, it depends how you're going to warm it, right? If you put it in a place where it could get hot, then it's usur. Even if you're going to remove it after 5 minutes, it's usur because you might leave it. But to warm it in a place where it could never get hot is mutter. This is exactly what we know from Sif Yud Dalet and Tesvav, just repeating it. That was talking about Gengam Dura, now we're repeating with Kedera El Gabi Kedera. Okay, so this should all be familiar to us. Now I think we're ready for Yud Ches. Says Sif Yud Ches. Ha'ilfas v'ha'kedera she'aviran mu'utachim el gabi yatamer. A pan or a pot that you took hot off the fire, meaning it's a kli rishon off the fire, im lonis bashakol tzarko, if it wasn't fully cooked, ein motzien bekaf mehem, you're not allowed to ladle out with a spoon or a ladle. Why? Shem tzomegis. Because even if you're just taking out with a spoon or with a ladle, you end up stirring, right? Whenever I stick a ladle or spoon in something, I end up stirring it. The ikam shem avashel, and stirring is cooking. in this bashel called sarko, mutter. But if it's this bashel called sarko, then it's mutter. Okay, here's the isser that is a principle found in one or two places in Shas, that hagosa is chayav mishum bishel. Hagosa is chayav mishum bishel. This is the sif, the famous sugya of hagosa. Hagosa is chayav mishum bishel. Where do we see this in Shas? In two places. One place is Beitz Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. That's the Brisa quoted in the Magen Avraham at the end of Sefer Zion and the Mishnah at the end of Sefer Tes, even though it's very shy of Sefer Tes. That says one person brings the fire, and one person brings the wood, and one person brings the pot, and one person, etc. Right? And one person stirs. The guy who stirs is Chayef, in addition to the people beforehand. Right? So it is. In Beitza, Lama, Dalet, and Beis, it says very clear, the guy who stirs is Chayev. And this is talking about the food, right, Tavshel. Someone who stirs a pot is Chayev. Then, in Shabbos, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis is less clear. What does it say in Shabbos, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis? It says you're allowed to leave your wool in the dying pot on Shabbos. So Mara says, aren't we afraid you might stoke the coals? Nah, it's off the fire. Aren't we afraid you might stir it? Nah, it's sealed shut. Okay, but in the Shaklet Hargi, you see, what do you mean we're afraid you might stir it? That means that it's an issue to rise to stir it. That's why we're afraid. So it's usher to stir the... It's usher to stir the semer in the yora. So, megis semer biyora is chayev. What's the Nachlokas Rashi and Tosfos though?
Whether it's Soveya or Bishel.
Exactly. That Rashi says Mishum Bishel. Here it's clearly Mishum Bishel. Meaning Beitz is clearly Bishel. Rashi says it's Mishum Bishel. And Tosfos says it's Mishum Soveya. Okay, Rashi says Bishel. Tosfos says Soveya. Because, I mean, you obviously see this for Tzoveya. Right? Rosh says Bishel, like in Beitza. We know it's part of cooking. Tos says Tzoveya. We all know. If you want the dye to go in something, you stir it, and that's how it gets the dye into it, right? I mean, that's logical sense. You want to put something in and get it to absorb the dye. You stir it, and the dye goes into it. Fine. The, excuse me. The interesting Chiddush that, comes out of this sugya is that Rashi says something funny. Rashi says, Uvin Vushal Havi Mevashal. Which sounds like maybe it's already cooked. And the Pasha of Gemara sounds like it might be already cooked. Why? Because the Gemara asks, aren't you worried that you might stir it? Why don't they just say it's already cooked? Sounds like even if it's already cooked. Pasha of Shat is even if it's already cooked. Right? So, Mashma Afilu Mevushal kvar is a problem. Okay, now let us just mention a few machlokas rishonim that we'll have to deal with. So, first question okay, there's a lot of machlokas here. Fine. Let's mention a few machlokas rishonim here. Number one is, where is stirring chayef? So, only on the fire or even off the fire? Well, according to Rashi, if you remember the Shaklatari I just told you over, I'll repeat to you your chesem days. Aren't we afraid you might stoke the coals? Nah, it's off the fire. Aren't we afraid you might stir it? Oh, it's sealed very tight. So what comes out of there? That if you stir it off the fire, clearly, right? Clearly you're chayef, right? So, even off the fire, that is Rashi, the Ran, the Magid Mishnah.
But, I mean, that isn't really Rashi, because that Gemara is...
No, the Gemara might mean Soveya. Even off the fire, you know, is Bishel.
right?
You have to cool down?
No, only if it's hot. However, shot of the Rambam, let me read you two Rambams. Okay? You ready to listen to two Rambams?
Yes.
Rafi, you ready to listen to two Rambams? Yep. Says the Rambam, Shabbos Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph. Aser lahachnis magreifa l'kdeira, you can't put a ladle into a pot on Shabbos, which is on a fire, the whole man of a Shabbos, to take food out, and they should make his butt, because that stirs it. Boom, we'd stem it to Bishol, and that's one of the necessities of Bishol, the nintu gemash for Shabbos, like cooking on Shabbos. You're not allowed to stick a ladle in to a pot that's on the fire on Shabbos, because it's like stirring. That's Gimel Yud Aleph. Now, let me read you another Rambam that I forgot where it was. Hold on. I really thought it was around here someplace. Which I don't totally want to do. Give me just a fraction of a second. I think I have a good one, even though it's against the Beis Yosef and the Magid Mishnah. But
what can I
search for? Harifos. Hey, Reish Yud, Pei Vav, Tuf. Oh, thank you. That's a great idea. Harifos. I just wrote down the Ma'ar Makom wrong. Did you find Harifos in the Rambam? Shabbos Chaf Aleph Yud Gimel. What does it say here? Yes, Lefikach Mutter Ligmar. He's talking about here, like if something's already crushed and broken, you can continue pulverizing it. Mutter Ligmar Shchika Sarifos. Therefore, it's mutter to finish crushing these types of legumes. Be'etz ha'paru with a stirring spoon. The sochak there is Shabbos, and upon a Shabbos, after shemaridin osam ala'is, after you take it off the fire. What does it mean, after you take it off the fire? Meaning, you can't squish it while it's on the fire. After you take it off the fire, you can. Why? Pashas, you put these ramas together, gimel yud aleph, and chaf aleph yud gimel, and gimel yud aleph said, oh, it's usher to ladle out soup on Shabbos, because it's like stirring on the fire. And Chaf Aleph Yud Gimel says, oh, it's mutter like mush it all up and stir it really well once you take it off the fire. Seems a pretty strong pattern of the Rambam that it's only usher on the fire. That seems like a pretty strong pattern of the Rambam, even though the Magid Mishnah doesn't say this. The Beis Yosef doesn't say this, but Pashup Shad in the Rambam is that he's only worried about stirring, right? On the fire.
Why?
Who said this?
What? I did.
Why should
there
be a difference?
The Chazon Ish. I mean, it's obvious once you look for it, but the Chazon Ish also points out. Okay, give me a second. Good thing. That's a great question. Why should that be? The truth is,
maybe the answer is just even simple, because maybe stirring only helps things cook if it's on the fire. Like, if something's off the fire, if something's on the fire, like, if you stir it, then the part that was close to the fire gets further from the fire, the part that's further from the fire gets closer to the fire. Once it's off the fire, I don't know if stirring makes it cook any better.
Oh, I mean, maybe it, like...
It could distribute the heat, but it will not really cook it. All right, I'll come back to it. That's my not real reason. One reason is because just maybe practically, it's not going to help cook so much once it's off the fire. The whole point of stirring is you get the parts that are far away from the fire closer to the fire. But if it's no fire anyway, then maybe it's not really going to do very much. Oh, you'll mix the hot parts with the cold parts? That's not really going to do much. Okay, second question is, when? Second question is when. Or, you know what? I'll do easier. Second question is what? What is usher? What was the chiddush of the Rambam that's not found anywhere in Shas that I read you from Gimel Yud Aleph? He didn't assert stirring. He assert even ladling out, right? Why? So he says ladling out is stirring, because you're not intending to stir, but whenever you ladle something out, you end up stirring it, right? That's the Mefurish Rambam. I'll read it to you again. Rambam Gimel Yud Aleph says, also, lahakdas magreifa likdeir b'shabbos v'yaleif lahotzi v'ne b'shabbos, just taking out, v'ibnei shemegisba, because that is stirring. However, the Ravid argues and says, no, that is Uvasaga, some are wrong. Okay, I have an old fashioned one. They don't have this right, but it's in the Mighty Mishnah. Hifriz al midosaf, he exaggerated. Also, holds you up when you have my grifa. He even tells you you're not allowed to take out with a spoon. Ah, that's exaggeration. Give me a break. So the Ravid denies this. I think of the Frankel Rambams, it's like in the middle where the Ravid belongs. But in these Ravids, they didn't have them all. So sometimes you have to look in the Magen Mishnah who quotes the Ravid.
What does that phrase mean?
Hifriz al midosaf means he exaggerated.
You mean like because he...
He blew it out of proportion. Midos is proportion. Hifriz is to make something bigger than it is. So it means he blew it out of proportion. That's maybe the most literal, right? Midos doesn't mean midos. It doesn't mean the Ram had bad midos. It doesn't mean character traits. It means proportions. He took it out of proportion. That's not the mido of this din. So it's Machlokes Ramam Ravid. If you would look at the Beis Yosef, you would find out that the Ran agrees with the Rambam. So what is Usser? Even... using a ladle, or anything equivalent to a ladle, right? That is the Rambam and the Ran. No, only actual stirring. That is the Shita of the Ravid. Now, does the Rambam, when the Rambam says even ladling such, that the Rice or Drabana? If you look at his Lashon, he says, Mipnesha Megisba. Because you're doing Negus, and that's one of the Tzarka Bishul, and then to come Vashal Shabbos, like cooking on Shabbos. Here it's a little tricky. Vizek Kimma Vashal Shabbos. Kimma Vashal Shabbos means it's mamish the equivalent of the Bishul on Shabbos, sticking a ladle to your cholent? Or it just means it's similar, it's not mamish like stirring. No. He says, it's mitzorche habishol, it's one of the necessary steps of Bishul. Vinimtsa Kimma Vashal Shabbos, it's like cooking on Shabbos. The kid, you never know exactly what it means, right? So, if it was up to me, I don't know. I might even read the Rambam saying it's a psik ratio d'oraisa of stirring. However, the Achronim don't read that way. If you look at the Shaar Tzion, Koflam and Zion, he says, Aval botzos kafi sur hu rak midrabbonin shu ke'ein hagosa. Kein mashma v'raf amagid v'hakol. The Achronim say that yes, the Rambam's machri even on a ladle, but... that's only midrabbanan. It's not real stirring. Right? You want to find one of the Achronim is Shaar Tzion Kuflan Zion, but it's other Achronim too. He says, no, the Rambam didn't mean a ladle is d'oraisa. He didn't mean a ladle is mamish stirring bipsik reishas d'oraisa. A ladle is not mamish stirring. Stirring is a real act of stirring. A ladle is not a d'oraisa kind of stirring. It's just midrabbanan zero to stirring. Too close to stirring. Okay. The most interesting question is, of course, when is stirring melacha? So, what's the most makel shita? The Ramban and the Rashba. What's the Ramban and the Rashba's makel stirring? Makel shita? Nope. What? No, that's where? No, more makel than that. They say, nope, more makel than that. The Ramban and the Rashba say,
only the first time.
Everything needs to be stirred once. I mean, does it help to stir it more times? Maybe, but that's not mamish bishel. The Iker bishel says, the guy was magus. Only if you stir it once. Again, I can't necessarily bring a raya from the Tzemer Liyora, because we are, maybe that's Tzomea, right? When is Hagasa considered bishel? Only the first time. Okay, that's a bit cool. If you stirred it once before Shabbos, then you can keep stirring it on Shabbos. Yeah?
Does it matter when that first stir happened? Because here's the start a little bit. If it's pretty much cooked. It's and then you do one stir, which means you now the.
Yeah, but that's not the way they make it sound. Okay, says the Ran.
Because otherwise it doesn't make sense.
Ad or only kodem shenitz bashel kemachol ben brusai. Why? Because the Ran held in general bishel is only up to machol ben brusai. But we know we're machor like the Rishonim who say that Magen Mishnah says the Magen Mishnah. No. Shenit Bashel Kolt Sarko. This is not a Hagosa Machlokas. This is a Bishel Machlokas. Like Bishel until it's fully cooked. And the Ran holds Bishel until Machlok Ben Brusai, right? This is a Machlokas the Indian Bishel. Not about Hagosa. Basically, the Ramban and the Rashba are very makil. They say only the first Hagosa is Aser. The Ran and Magen Mishnah say, no, Hagosa is like cooking. Whenever cooking is usher, Hagasa is usher. And the Ran says cooking is usher until Machmen Usai. And Rav Mish says cooking is usher until Kolsarko. However, there is a there is a Shita of the Kolbo. What does the Kolbo say? That's on this Makor sheet. Megis Chai Mishum Vashel. Oh, well, sorry. Let me take it back for a second. There is a sheet of the Mari Weil, quoted in this Rama, says the Mari Weil, he says, nope, afilu, even if it was in Bashel called Sarko, there's still an Isser Daraisa of cooking. That's the Mari Weil, even if Bashel called Sarko. The Mari Weil is quoted in the Dark Moshe, but it's really in the Ramah here.
Can't ever stir your tea.
What?
Can't ever stir your tea even probably.
You stir that, tea?
If according to this was.
Oh no, in a cliche me, I think he'd be Mako. We're only talking about Kli Risha. Right? We're only talking about Kli Risha on the top. Filos Basel got Sarko. Right? Bikli Rishon Roteach. Now, we'll have to get to the Kolbo. Let's leave room for the Kolbo. And the Kolbo says the same thing. What does the Kolbo say? That's I Xerox here from the Mesios Formation of Gimel. Kaimel and Demagis Chayim Mishum Avashel Afila Bikdera Muvu Sheles. But Kolzman Shiela Eitz. What's the difference between the Kolbo and the Mahari Weil? The Kolbo says only on the fire. The Mari Weil says, even off the fire. So, I mean, the Kolbo is a small kiddush. Even if it's fully cooked, you're not allowed to stir it on the fire. The Mari Weil is a big kiddush. Even if it's fully cooked, even off the fire, you can't stir it, as long as it's hot in the cliche show. Cliche me, I assume, it'd be Mako. Now, let's see how we pass it. Okay, and then we'll get into the svars. By the way, whose svar is very difficult here? Whose svar is the most difficult?
Mari
Weil and the Kolbo. Why? Because if it's already cooked, how can you be chayav for cooking it anymore? Meaning, a cooked food you're allowed to take and mamash put on a fire. Okay, maybe tanach lechachila. Okay, fine, let's ignore that, right? Right, well, you revive, you say you can put it on a plot, right? So if you can mamash cook it, why should we also stir it? Like, why should the tuffle be more chumrah than the ikker? Right? Stirring is like a part of cooking. But if it's already cooked, cooking is much. Why should stirring be usher? Okay. Who asked that question?
Rebbe did earlier and said that maybe Avos is a different...
Uh-huh. But I meant, more classically, the Mishnah Berurah already asked that question. Where did the Mishnah Berurah ask that question? Kufem Ches and the Shar Tzion. Flo Eda Tam. I have no idea what the reason for this could be. Demaya Difa Agasa Mi Bishul Mamish. Why should Agasa be more chomer than cooking? Okay. We'll come back to that. First, let's figure out Psak, and then we'll figure out Svara. Reasonable? Okay. Now, the... Okay, just before I get there, where did the Mari Weil get this crazy idea from? It's crazy. The svar is difficult. Let's, right, green will be svara. Right? What's the svara? What? The svara is, this svara makes sense. This svara makes sense. This svara makes sense. You want to say only one stirring? Because one stirring is really necessary. You want to say until it's machab and yusai? Because you hold cooking is usher until machab and yusai. You want to say until it's cooked sarko? Because you hold cooking is usher until it's cooked sarko, which is the way we paskin, at least, you know, with achila. But after, as the Mishnah Berurah says, this svara is triple question mark. And it's not just me who don't understand. The Mishnah Berurah says, like, why should Agusa be more chomer than bishul? Right? Who gives it a triple question mark? Shara Tzion, Kuf Mem Ches. Lo Eida, I don't understand the Svara. So, we're going to have to explain the Svara. But, before we explain the Svara, let's just see, why did Mari Weil think such a crazy thing? What, he just made it up because he was in the mood to make up Chumras? What in his Mesorah would have made the Mari Weil think such a crazy thing? That even off the fire, even if it's fully cooked, it's still usher to stir it. You're right, Natan. Say it in three letters.
In bifnei atzma.
No, that's three words. I thought you were looking for it. What risha would have made the Mari Weil think this crazy thing?
Rashi.
What does Rashi say? The mevushal havi bishal, even though it's cooked, right? Look, I don't think the Mari Weil says explicitly, but.
Who's the Mari Weil?
He was one of the latest Ashkenazic Rishonim right before the Rama. He's a big poskim. He didn't write Chiddush Shas. He was one of the big poskim in Ashkenaz before the time of the Rama, the very end of the period of Rishonim, or beginning borderline Rishonim Achronim. So what's the makor of the Chumrah of the Mari Weil? The makor of the Chumrah of the Mari Weil is Rashi. By the case of Tzemer Liyora. Right? That's a reasonable mucker for the Chumrah. Okay. What would those who disagree with Mari Weil say?
Dozens.
And the other Rishonim would say, like Tosfos, that sugya, that's not a sugya of Bishul, that's sugya of Tovea. Don't bring Tovea into Bishul. Or, what else could these Rishonim say? That who says that Tzemer Liyora is cooked cold sarko?
And it's never fully
cooked. Maybe Tzemer Liyora is never cooked cold sarko. Right? Or that Tzemer Liyora is never mevushal cold sarko.
Isn't just not to be mefarish like Rashi. To hold that it's talking about...
Meaning, you could hold like Rashi, but still not say the Mari Weil. Either you disagree with Rashi, or say, I hold like Rashi. But that doesn't mean the Mari Weil. The Mari Weil thought that Rashi meant fully cooked food is also your stir. No, Rashi just meant that Tzemer Liyora is never fully cooked. Because in the dying process, you always need more cooking.
But not to hold it. Isn't there a line in Rashi that says...
Mevushal ha-vibishal.
Yeah, so...
So first of all, it's a question. Does he mean mevushal or mevashal ha-vibishal? Maybe it's mevashal ha-vibishal, but only if it's not mevushal yet. Or even if it needs to be mevushal, maybe it's not called tzarko.
Or is it mevashal ha-vibishal?
In the process of mevashal, if you stir, it's bishal. I understand. Or even mevushal means mevushal, but not called tzarko.
You can just reject that.
Right, or you can just reject the formulation of Rashi. Correct. Okay, now here's an interesting question. I'm not the genius who figured this out. Chazon Ish is. What's the mucker of the chumra of the kolbo? Clearly not Rashi. Why? Because if he was basing this off on Rashi, he would say he'd even off the fire. And he said specifically, what's the mucker of the chumra of the kolbo? The Gemara in Beitza, but why would the Gemara in Beitza you think it means after it's fully cooked? The Gemara in Beitza says, one guy puts the fire, one guy puts the water, one guy puts the food, and one guy stirs. Simple shot is the guy stirred right after the guy put the food. Right? Meaning, I'm not saying it can't be that he stirred 3 hours later. But it sounds like they all did it like in 10 minutes. So I would say that's the mucker. Anyone? I think it's pasha what the mucker is. I thought this before I saw it in the Chazanish. But, the Seder.
The other Gersa were only the last to
No. I think the Gersa is very passionate. I think his mucker is very passionate. It's very strong. It's the Rambam. What did the Rambam say? No, better. You're not allowed to put a ladle into a pot on the fire on Shabbos to take out food. Now let me ask you a simple question. Stam case of someone who ladles out food to serve it on Shabbos. What is the food?
Soup.
No, how cooked is the food?
Fully cooked.
Yeah. I mean, you could always make a weirdo kipta, but push him shot. A guy says, don't ladle out your food while the pot's on the stove. He's talking about not cooked food? What, since when do you ladle out non-cooked food? Obviously, he's talking about cooked food. The Rambam doesn't say it in neon lights, but push him shot in the Rambam is that the Rambam says you're not allowed to serve food with a ladle on the fire. You serve food after it's already cooked. That's what normal people do. So assuming he's talking about normal case, I think the mucker is the Rambam, Gimel Yud Aleph. Why? Because a stam person who serves food with a ladle is serving fully cooked food. I think it's pasha. That's the mucker of the kolbo. Again, it's not my finish. The Chazon Ish really tore this sugya apart. I think it's pasha. That's as far as the kolbo. The Rambam sounds like the food is fully cooked because he's talking about people who are serving and forbids on the fire. Right? So you put two and two together and the kolbo, again, a lot of people assume the kolbo just like came from Mars. Hashem shut us down. The kolbo came from the Rambam. Where did the Rambam come from? Okay, you know what? The Rambam, he came from Svara. And the Rambam Svara is a good mucker. You don't mess with the Rambam Svara. Now, we have to explain the Rambam Svara. Yes?
It doesn't necessarily mean you're serving it to your... Nowhere does he say, like...
I know nowhere does he say, but it's stomp shot reading. You're not allowed to put a ladle into your kedera on Shabbos while it's on the fire to take food out of it on Shabbos. You don't admit the stomp pashim shot is that it's cooked? The Rambam shouldn't have at least... If the Rambam meant it wasn't cooked, shouldn't he have said so? Right? A stam case means at least if it's cooked or not cooked. Like, it'd be a little weird. If I meant only uncooked food and I talk about how you can serve it with a ladle, it's a little weird for me to talk about how you can serve it with a ladle if I only mean uncooked food without saying so. To me, it's a double pashut. Now, here is the... Let's get the psak, then we'll come back to Svara. Okay? Psak. Says the Mechaber. Ha'elfas v'ak deyrshev yirum talking about el-gabi ha'or im lo nisbashe gold tzarko ein motzi im b'kaf mehem shen in some megis v'ikim shum v'ashel v'im nisbashe gold tzarko mutter. Okay. He says if it's not cooked, usher, if it's cooked, it is mutter. Now, he doesn't explicitly say what if it's on the fire, what is off the fire, but since he doesn't explicitly say anything, the pashup shot is that the pashup shot is, okay, let's, machaber, mashma, like the Magid Mishnah. Because he says, if it's not fully cooked, it's asur. If it's fully cooked, it's mutter. And he doesn't explicitly say it makes a difference if it's on the fire or not. So pashup shot like the Magid Mishnah. What does he do with Semer Liyora? He says, well, Semer Liyora, we should call it a ayin also lahagis. But Semer Liyora, that's always asur to stir, even though it already absorbed the color. Why? Semer Liyora is different. Right? Semer Liyora is different. Why is Semer Liyora different? So he doesn't say why, but if you look in that chronon, they give two esberim. What does the Mishnah Berurah say here? Mishnah Berurah says Mishum Soveya. That's different because there's Soveya. And then in the chart scene, it says, and the other answer is because it's never fully cooked, it always needs more cooking. Okay, this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Machaber, Mashma Kamagid Mishnah, and Semer Liyora. Semer Liyora is different. Why is it different? Either because that's a Tzovei issue having nothing to do with Bishul, or that's a Bishul issue, but that's because Semer Liyora is never really fully cooked. It always needs more cooking. As opposed to Cholent, which doesn't always mean more cooking. That's the Machaber. Says the Ramban, Ulechachili Shizar Afbik Deira B'chol Inyan. Nope, Lechachili should be Nizar Afbik Deira B'chol Inyan. Even the Kedera off the fire B'chol Inyan. Says the Ramah. The Ramah Lechachila says like the Mari Weil. That is a big chumrah. You know what that means according to Ramah? If you take your chulin pot off the stove, you can't put a ladle into it. You can't even put a ladle into it. What are we paskin? Here. this is the psak of the we're only using a ladle. This is psak of the Machaber and the Ramah and the Achronim. Right? We paskin like the Rambam against the Ravid. Even using a ladle is usher. Kolsh means stirring. According to the Ramah, not only can't you stir off the fire, you can't even use a ladle even off the fire. And how do you serve your cholent, according to the Ramah? How do you serve your cholent? You can't stick a ladle into your cholent pot to serve it, even off the fire.
Pour it into another clay.
What? You either have to gently eat it out of the pot, or you just dump it into another clay. According to the Ramah, how do you have to serve your cholent? You just turn it upside down on top of another clay and dump it all at once, so you won't be stirring it.
You mentioned gently eating it out of the pot. What is that? What's the hadar?
But the hadar is very posh, meaning you could it doesn't have to be eating. You could take with a spoon as long as you don't disturb anything. You just scoop off a little on top without like sticking it in and digging. Because then you're not stirring. Right? So, the Ramah would say either you just dump your shulchan pot, or you could take a spoon and carefully skim off layer by layer, making sure not to like go in and out.
Would we say that even if it's not fully cooked?
Maybe.
I know someone likes to have some challah on Friday night, even if it's for Shabbos.
And it's not fully cooked?
I don't know.
So could they gently take some out with a spoon? Pashtus, yes. Pashtus, yes. Now, do we hold like that, Ramah? Says the Magen Avraham. Ba'olam nagu heter. V'yeshal shiz v'achu no, we're no hake to be mako, says the Taz. Don't bring a raya from Shabbos Daf Yud Ches, because Semer Liyora is different, as we all explained. And don't we know the Rambam says it's Mutter in Perkof Aleph. Yeah, he was just doing Archaka Yaseira, and therefore... whoever wants to be machmir can be machmir in stirring, but definitely don't be machmir in illegal. So says the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Taz, says the Magen Avraham, Minig Zlahakel. Says the Mishnah Berurah, based on the Taz, says the Mishnah Berurah, nope, no Hagin Lahakel, that's the Magen Avraham, Va'afilu Harotze Lehachmir, Yachmir Rak Behagosa Mamish, that's the Taz. Right? What do you say? The minig is Lahakel. We're not choshish for this Ramah. We all stir the cholent off the fire. And even if you want to be more machmir, it's enough to be, even if you want to be more machmir like the Ramah, it's enough to be machmir like the Ramah not to stir it. But it's crazy to be machmir like the Ramah not to take with the ladle. I don't know if the briskers do, but mainstream halacha is, like the Mishnah Berurah says, this crazy chomer the Ramah, nah, we don't keep this chumr the Ramah. And if you want to be extra machmir, be extra machmir and don't stir. But there's no svara to be so machmir like the Ramah not to take with a, not to ladle. That's just going too far. However, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan, in Kuf Yud Gimel, and at much greater length in Sifkatan Kuf Yud Ches, says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Akronim, we don't keep the Chumrah in the Mari Wild. What do we say? We don't keep this Chumrah in the Mari Wild. And even if you want to keep the Chumrah, keep it by stirring. But you're crazy if you keep it by ladling. However, which Chumrah do we keep? We do keep the Chumrah, the Kolbo. Right? Off the fire, we don't keep the Chumrah of the Mari Wild. Off the fire, it's only also with Nav Mevushel Gold Tzarko. But on the fire, we keep the chumra of the kolbo. So says the Mishnah Berurah and the poskim. We really poskim like the kolbo. We reject the Mari Wild, but we do poskim like the kolbo. And the Chazon Ish says that Taka makes sense to poskim like the kolbo, or at least we mock like the kolbo, because the kolbo is really the Rama, if you think about it. So it's not even a Shitas Yachid. We possibly like the Kolbo. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says in Kuf Yud Gimel. He says, Nakash Shavriyun Ravusta, Fil Bazet Osir Shalon is Bashgol Tsarku. Is Bashgol Tsarku, Fil Omen Al Gavi, or Motel Holds of Bikaf, Kim Mashri Yosef. According to the Machaber, once it's cooked called Tsarku, off the fire, on the fire, you can do whatever you want, according to the Machaber. He just holds like the Magen Mishnah. But, Bel Yorab Amazi Yishla, so Bel Yorab is Machmer on the fire, like the Kolbo, and in Kuf Yud Ches, it's much more explicit. One second. At the end of the siman, he just throws in things. I don't know why he didn't throw this in Sif Yud Ches, which was talking about it, but whatever. He says, the Kasav Rav Amagil, Divrei Kol Kol Shein, no, sorry. Ubeis Yosef Kasav, B'Shem HaKolbo, Shi Al Ha'esh, Chai V'Agasa Afilu Mavosha Kol Tzarko. Okay. Which sounds like he's endorsing it. The Minhag HaOlam, everyone knows, what they teach everyone in elementary school and high school, right, is like the Kolbo. That is, you should not ladle out your food on the fire. You have to take it off the fire and then serve it. Right? Whenever you want to serve soup, what do? We take the soup off the fire, we serve it, and then we put it back on the fire. You want to serve chili, you take it off the fire and serve it, and then you put it back on the fire. Like, even if you want to keep it for the next meet, you want to serve soup Friday night and keep it for Shabbos morning. You don't ladle it out on the fire. You take it off the fire, put it on your trivet, keep your hand on it so you can do Hazara, maybe, and ladle it out, and then put it back on the fire. That's the minute I got thinking. Is that what they do in Rinat? What do they do in Rinat? That's the meaning of all the Orthodox places that I've been. Is like the Kolbo, even though the Kolbo is a little bit strange misvara, but the meaning is like the Kolbo, and that's what all the poskim say. We hold like the Kolbo, meaning if it's not fully cooked, then everything's usher. Then oy vavoy. If it's not fully cooked, the only thing you do is like dump the whole thing into a tray. But once it's fully cooked, then off the fire we don't worry about the Mari Wild. But on the fire we do worry about the Kolbo. And like the Rambam says, not only won't we stir it on the fire, we don't even ladle it on the fire. We take it off the fire before we ladle it. So that's the halacha l'maisa.
We also don't need to be machmir for the Mari Wild within stirring off of the fire. In the Mishnah Berurah.
The Mishnah Berurah says, if you want to be machmir, you can, but you don't have to. Correct. I think the Minhag HaOlam is not to be machmir. He's just saying, if you want to be extra machmir, then you can be machmir for the Mari Wild and stir. But not in ladling. Now, what's the svara of the kolbo and the marijuana. What's the svara? After all, the Mishabura has a good question. What's the answer? What's the svara? Ha'osrim ha'gasa de'tavshil shenitzbashil kol tzarko. Well, what's so bad about Hagasa in the first place? Why is Hagasa Malach in the first place, anyone? Why is Hagasa Malach in the first place? Yes, says the Mishnah Brura in Sivkatan Kuf Yudalid. Kolshkin Lahagas Mamish the Osir Yishkin Chatzav Zelfi Yishbasik Shavanach the Elbus of Dalid. Dibazem is say, Yeo Makariv La Bishal Vachashim Yudalid. Well, it helps the Bishal. Why? If you stir it, it cooks faster. And it distributes the heat. So how's the problem? If the whole problem of Bishul, if Hagasa is helping the Bishul, then if it's already cooked, there is no more Bishul. So what's the svara of the Kolbo? Strange, no? Is it not strange?
What does Mivashal Kol Tzarko mean? Isn't there always like a possibility that like a little speck didn't cook?
Who says that?
I think maybe the Shavura.
No, Rav Moshe.
Did you read the Rav Moshe of Farsi?
It sounds familiar.
Okay. Rav Moshe quotes them to Ferris Shmuel in the bottom of the Rush.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you saw. You saw in the bottom of the Rush, the Ferris Shmuel.
Now
you
know.
Rav Moshe quotes them to Ferris Shmuel that, of course, you can't assur stirring if something's already fully cooked. But there might be little bits that are not fully cooked. That's Rav Moshe's Kiddush. There might be little bits that are not fully cooked. So says Rav Moshe. The Tiferes Shmuel, the Shmuel Kandaver, about the Rush and the Igros Moshe.
He was a Rishon?
No. He was relatively early Achron. Igros Moshe is, maybe there are uncooked bits. And when you stir them, you'll make them cook. Now, why is this such a chiddush? Hold on a second. If something Mevushel called Sarko, and you take it off the fire, can you put it back on the fire?
Yes.
Yes. Can you take it out of the fridge and put it connected on Madura?
Absolutely.
Yes. Meaning, why aren't we worried there are bits that aren't cooked? Because we're not worried that, whoever would be worried there are bits that aren't cooked? We never heard of that before. So Ramosha has to be nidchi. He says, when you put things back on the fire, then you usually check pretty well and you're sure there aren't bits that aren't cooked. But when you stir things, sometimes it might be barely called sarko, and like, when you take them off the fire and put them back, they're usually very well cooked. When you stir things or ladle them out, sometimes they're so barely cooked there might be uncooked bits. That's a big chiddush, this uncooked bits. We never heard of it before. And then you have to say, we're choshish for uncooked bits for stirring, but not for putting it on the fire.
You can say when you put it on the fire, you put the entire entity as a whole on the fire. So the uncooked bits.
That's a big chiddush. That's a big chiddush alumnus. Okay. That's a big chiddush alumnus. Lamaisa, I think the Chazan Ish is right. Says the Chazan Ish. He just argues on the Mishnah Brura. He says, if you look in the Lashon of the Rambam, he doesn't say Hagasa makes it cook faster. After all, he says, the Kolbo is based on the Rambam. So let's go to the Rambam. Does the Rambam say it makes it cook faster? What does he say? It's one of the necessities of Bishul. That doesn't necessarily mean it makes it cook faster. Just means it's a necessary part of the Bishul process. If a professional cooks, he stirs. Maybe he stirs when he's finished cooking. After all, you know what the Rambam says? You're not allowed to wring out garments because mitzarchei hakibus. It's one of the necessities of laundry. It's already clean. But one of the necessities after you clean it is to wring it out. The Rambam says you're not allowed to pull the string after sewing because that's one of the necessities of sewing. It's already sewn. Meaning, the Chazan just finished that. The Rambam doesn't mean it makes it cook better. No. The Rambam means is sometimes even when you finish a malacha, there are things that are necessary to do even when you finish the malacha. And those things are still usher d'oraisa. They're still toldos. They're still toldos. After you launder, you have to wring. After you, with a double, right? After you sew, you have to pull the string tight. After you cook, you have to stir it, because that's part of the professional cooking process. That after you cook, you stir it. Why do you stir it? maybe just to, it'll be ready to serve, everyone will be nice and mixed, or maybe to make sure it doesn't burn. But a professional chef stirs even after he finishes. So that's the chiddush of the Chazon Ish, is that it's not misayeya umekare bishol, but rather, lashon of the Rambam, mitzarchei habishol, and mitzarchei habishol. And then he puts two and two together. He says, what's the kol marker of the Rambam? And the Rambam doesn't say it makes it cook. He just says it's part of the needs of cooking. It's part of the needs of cooking that you do afterwards. Some malachas have things that are necessary to do even when you finish the malacha. Doing the malacha more is not usser, because when you finish the malacha, what's the point of doing it more? But doing other necessary steps might be more chomer. Yes, a necessary step might be more chomer than the malacha itself. Why? Because the malacha itself, once it's done, is done. But necessary steps still might be necessary. There are necessary steps to do after a malacha, and before a malacha, and during a malacha. And that also makes sense why the Rambam would only ask her, and the Kolba would only ask her on the fire, not off the fire. Why only on the fire, not off the fire? Because the professional way of cooking is you stir it while it's on the fire. That's the normal professional way of cooking. That's part of the professional cooking process. Once you take it off the fire, that's... maybe if there were little bits, taku or Moshe, I don't know, why shouldn't we say Mari Wild? Maybe there are little bits that would, I don't know. But they said no. The professional cooking process requires stirring when you leave things on the fire. It doesn't require stirring when you take them off the fire. That's not part of the professional cooking process. That's the chiddush of the Chazon Ish. It's against most of the achronim don't... I mean, by now I think they do. When I was a kid, none of the achronim quoted this Chazon Ish. They all said, like Rav Moshe, oh, Haggadah is usher because it makes it cook more. Oh, but it's already cooked. Must be, let's invent little bits hiding inside that aren't cooked. Oh, yeah, the best you could do. But Rav Chazon Ish says, no, that's not pshat. Pshat is you got to go to the Rambam. It's not something that helps it cook. It's something that's a different step in the cooking process. Mitzarchei habishol.
Could you say stirring it to prevent it from burning is actually misayeya the cooking? It's not like a professional step. That's actually, if it burns, it's not cooked.
No, if it burns, it is cooked.
It's not.
No, I think you have to say like the Chazon Ish if you want to take that approach. Okay. Halacha lemaisa. Let's just, not that I need your help. Okay, I want to see if I can finish by five. What I want to do now is chazer the halacha lemaisa and fill in some details from Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish, and then hopefully we'll have time for sif yotes. Hagasa. What? Don't tempt me. You don't know. You're playing with fire here. I'll be the next Rabbi Einhorn. Hi, Gosser. Can you read the green, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. What?
I can.
Okay.
Is that good reading?
It's low. All the colors.
Yeah, I know, but it's the only one that has any ink left in it.
Oh.
Right, it's the only one that has proper ink left in it. Okay, Hagasa. So what's the case? If it's Hagasa or what they call Hosa'a Bekaf. If it's not Mevushal Kol Tzarko, then it's Asur. That's the main shot. Don't give me chumers the Mari Wild and chumers the Kolbo. That's the main pushup shot. That it's part, it makes it cook. Vesayeya bishol, makari bishol, and tells Mushkol Tzarko also makari bishol. That's the machaber. The machaber we all keep. The question is just whether to add chumers. We all keep the machaber. But what if it is Mevushal Kol Tzarko already? Then it might depend. If it is off the fire. If it's off the fire, then we don't keep the chumer the Ramah. What do we say? We say a hotzah bekaf is mutter, and hagasa is also mutter. But if you want to be machmer, you should be machmer. Right? That's our rejection of Mari Weil. All he's saying is like, money, the mug of rum, we're knowing to be Mako and the Taz. And if you want to be Machber, be Machber on stirring, but don't be Machber on ladling. However, what if it's on the fire? On the fire, then what do we say? Usher. On the fire is usher even if it's fully cooked. Not only to stir, whether stirring or ladling, it's usher on the fire. Therefore, in all Orthodox households that I've been in, if you want to serve the soup, you first take it off the fire and then serve the soup. Now, Jeff, what if someone's not so knowledgeable and they serve the soup on the fire? It's not the end of the world, because it's a chumrah, this kolbo. It's not the ikkaret in this kolbo. We're machmir for this kolbo. But, nonetheless, the main shumalach is that we're machmir for the kolbo. I wouldn't call someone a chal Shabbos if they never heard of the kolbo, and they just follow the machaber. But, halacha l'maisa, we're machmir for the kolbo. Now, let's just fill in some details. What are some details? So, now let's fill in some details of this chumrah of the kolbo. Number one is, how seriously are we machmir for the kolbo? What if you're stuck? If you're stuck, do you have to be machmir for the kolbo or not? What's an example of stuck? Let's say, for example, you have cholent in the crock pot, which is not gar v'katam, and you can't do chazara. Let's say you have your soup on a flame and you don't have a blech, you can't do chazara. Right? So if you take it off, you're not able to put it back. And then you're going to be stuck. So then what do you do? If you take it off, you won't be able to put it back for tomorrow. So what do you do? So Rav Moshe says you're stuck. Tough luck. Right? So even Malkum Tzorch, or better case, what if it's just very heavy and it's hard for you to take it off? Right? What if you're having Friday night shulant in a camp? Right? And it's a very heavy pot and it's hard work. It's hard to take it off and then put it back. Right? So what if it's Malkum Tzorch? So Rav Moshe says, Usser. Even Malkum Tzorch is Usser. When we machmer the kolbo, we're really machmer for the kolbo. We take it very seriously. But here's first detail. The Chazan Ish and the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa say Mutter. And the Minhag Olam is like the Chazan Ish and Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa. In who's ever in Moko? In Moko, they are not Mako. They have Friday night children. They still have Friday night children in Moko? Friday night children in Moko. But they want to leave the pot on for Shabbos. So what do? They have a lot of tircha, and two big guys take it off and put it on a stool and keep their hands on it, and then they lift it really hard and put it back up afterwards to leave it for the next day. And they matriach themselves to take it off the fire, serve children, put it back on the fire. They matriach themselves. However, they matriach themselves. However, that's because that's that's okay. They want to be machmir there. But the minhag olam, the most poskim say, like the Chazan Ish, if you're stuck, then or at least mutter lahotzi b'kaf. He's not saying if you're stuck you can stir it. Like, why do you have to stir it? But if you just want to serve yourself some and it's hard to take it off or hard to get it back, then you can be make a mukum tzorich. Now, it doesn't usually happen in regular households, so it's a big deal. Just take it off, stir, and put it back. But if you have a case, or sometimes you have a one-piece crockpot. Anyone ever see a one-piece crockpot?
Yeah.
It's much better for atmana, right? There's nothing that comes out. It's just the thing. So it's always on the fire. There is no way to get it off the fire. So I remember we had a one-piece crockpot when I was in college. I had a friend who made cholent once in a one-piece crockpot. So how do you take it out? There is no such thing as off the fire, right? Because it doesn't come out. Okay, so at the time, as I recall, we were machmer, we just dumped it into a big bowl and tried not to make a mess. But, really, you could, but that's just because, all right, when you go to secular college, you always have to be a little more machmer than if you're in NYU, just to be on the safe side. But the mainstream side is you could follow the Chazan Ish, Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, and if it's hard to, and also, that case was because we were eating it all. What if we wanted to save some of it for tomorrow? Then we'd be stuck, right? Because if we just pour some of it out, then we're stirring the rest. So, if you're stuck, you can not stir. Because that's going to be a chashto raisa. But at least to take out with a spoon, right? Because the kolbo actually said not to stir. even though the Rambam's not going to take out the spoon. But if you're stuck, we don't have to be so much for the... It's ironic. Rav Moshe had the worst shot for the Kolbo. The Chazon Ish had a better shot for the Kolbo. But nonetheless, the Chazon Ish takes the Kolbo less seriously than Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe thinks we're mamish makra for the Kolbo in all circumstances. Chazon Ish says, nah, we're makra for the Kolbo if we can. But if it's hard, then don't worry about it.
I think it makes sense in the Lamdas. Because Moshe's afraid of actual cooking.
Ah, that's true.
Because Moshe's afraid of it will look like cooking, but if it's...
Yeah, okay, no, because that looked like it's meat sarka, Bishop. They're both afraid of Doraisa.
For a heavy pot, it's not even...
All right. We can discuss it another time. Let's just... one or two... a few other details. Base. How about covering a pot on the fire? Not stirring, covering the pot on the fire. How about covering a pot on the fire? So this should depend on the machlokas between the Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish. According to Rav Moshe, he said, "Usher, why? It's the same problem as the kolbo. Maybe there are little bits that weren't yet cooked. It doesn't work with your lamdas fish. Maybe there are little bits that aren't cooked, and when you cover the pot, it's going to make it cook quickly." But according to Chazon Ish, covering the pot is not one of the tzorchei habishul. That's not a special professional act in the process. So, lefi mechazen ish doesn't say, but lefi mechazen ish, it should be mutter. Halacha lemaisa, the shmir shabbos golchasa is noted to maybe be machmer a little, but Ray Willig says, in the chavoy lechidusho, that it's enough to remark like the kolbo and stirring, which he and the Rambam talked about. You don't have to be machmer in covering the pot.
So you can take the lid off.
So you can take the lid off, and I think the minhag is to be makel. You take the lid off on the fire, you look at it, you put the lid back, as long as it's fully cooked. This is all if it's fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, then oy vavoy lecha. What?
So
you should never take the cover off to check if it's fully cooked, because then if you find that it's not, you won't be able to put it back.
So the scenario I said on Friday night, when someone likes to scoop the top a little bit off the chalent, they can't do that because of the lid.
Correct. Again, this is all if it's fully cooked. So the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says you should good to be machmir. Lamaisa, Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says tov b'hachmir. But Rabbi Willig says, right, that we can be mako. Lamaisa, I think we can be mako on this. And say, you know what? No one ever said until one generation ago there's any chash in covering. It's enough that we have this big chiddush l'chumra about stirring. We don't have to extend it to covering. Especially, according to Chazon Ish's svara, there's no reason to extend it to covering. It was never listed as an independent stage of the process. I will just mention two other kulas from Rav Moshe, which are logical. Says Rav Moshe, Gimel, water... is mutter. Let's say you want to ladle that water from a pot of water. That's no problem. Or let's say you want to open up the spigot of the kumkum and the water comes out. That's no problem. Why? Because you can't stir water. Like, you don't only stir things that have, like, different ingredients in them. Water, like, it's all the same. Stirring doesn't do anything for water. Just mitzias. Stirring doesn't help water. Right, I think no matter who, whether you take Rav Moshe, whether you take the Chazon Ish, meaning stirring has no effect on water because it's all uniform. Stirring only has an effect when there's different kinds of pieces or different kinds of spices and different kinds of flavors. But water is just water. Stirring doesn't help water. Okay. Another question is, this is a cooler Rav Moshe, what about on the blech, but not above the flame. Do you remember the blechs that we used to have when I was a kid in America? The sheet of metal you put on your stove?
From my grandma's house.
Right. So now it covers all four burners. Let's say you light one burner and then you put the blech. But the whole blech is going to be somewhat hot. Do you have to take the soup pot off the blech? Can you just move it to the blech on top of the burner that's off? And that counts as not on the fire. So Rav Moshe says, that's mutter. As long as you move it to the blech where it's not directly on the fire, that's not considered on the fire. The kolbo doesn't apply in that case. Mutter, says Rav Moshe. He has another big kula. This is in Yud Gimel. I mean, these are all zeros on the sheet. He says, let's say you really need to stir something and to keep it on the fire. for tomorrow. Like your chillant is like mamish burning, you need to stir it, but you want to keep it on the fire for tomorrow. What can you do? So Moshe says that, well, we don't hold it the Mari while, you can take it off the fire, stir it, and then put it back on the fire. That's also a bit of a chiddush lekula. I mean, lemaisa you're stirring and putting it on the fire. But since this whole kolbo is a bit of a chumra in the first place, so he's makel even in that case. Okay, I think that's about all I have to say about. So that's another big kula for Moshe. Says Moshe big kula. Mutter to stir off the fire, even mamish stir, and then put back on the fire. This is like the biggest chiddush, because like your mamish have a toelus of stirring, but I think he would say, in this case the gzeira doesn't apply. The gzeira only applied on the fire. Off the fire we didn't apply the gzeira, maybe because when you take things off the fire, usually they're cooked enough that there aren't uncooked bits. And even put the chazanish, the professional way to stir is on the fire.
So for your motion, this would be like a heter, like your chalent's drying out, and you need to add water to it, add the hot water.
Yeah, that's a good heter, no? It's always good to have a terim. Kalach the terim adif. What does Rav Moshe say? He says, is it mutter to add water to a drying out chillant rafi? Umagiso sham and stir it off the fire. V'chakam of zero leish and then put it back. Says Ramosha Yesh Lahakel. It's mutter. Okay. That's so much for Sif Yotess. Let's just briefly run through Sif Yotess because we really discussed the main issue already. Sif Yotess. Fine, we'll go till 5:10. Asala Tuach Shemin V'shomal Atzli. You're not allowed to smear garlic and oil on roasted meat, but Odu Kneged Madur when it's still near the fire. Afilu Nitzatzli Modyom. Even if the roasted meat was already fully roasted from before Shabbos. Even Kalmakun Stashal Shema Shemin. Meaning you can't take raw oil and garlic and smear it on your roasting meat by the fire, even though the meat's already cooked. Yeah, but now you're cooking the oil and the garlic. So that's pashat, that's aser. The Mechaber says, when it's near the fire, right? However, says the Magen Avraham and the Taz, even if it's not near the fire, even if you took it off the fire, it's still aser, because the Kli Rishon is also off the fire, also cooks. Right? So therefore, even though the Mechaber's example is when it was near the fire, even if you take it off the fire, it's still a Kli Rishon, it still cooks. And here's where the Magen Avraham says that we already analyzed. He quotes the Marshal that even, not only if you take it away from the fire, even if you put it into a Kli Sheni, it still cooks, because Davar Gush and a Kli Sheni is the Kli Rishon. It's that last Magen Avraham, that's where he says it. So even though the Mechaber only aser is smearing things on it, if it's on the fire, we aser even a Kli Rishon off the fire, and we also are machmir like the Marshal, even if you put it in a Kli Sheni, since it's a Davar Gush, it has the status of a Kli Rishon. Agav, another interesting discussion he has there is, would it be necessary of Nolad to put to put fat? Let's say it was already cooked fat. Already cooked fat is no problem, in Bishol or Bishol. Is it a problem Nolad to put fat into it? This is a very important discussion. What about, you can't smear it with oil, because that's raw, and you're cooking it. You can't smear it with garlic, that's raw, and you're cooking it. What about smearing it with fat? The fat was already cooked. Ain't bishul or bishul, right? What if you smear it? Smear it with fat.
It goes into the meat.
Ah, but what happens to the fat? It melts from the heat of the meat, but it goes into the meat. So the Magen Avraham is not sure whether that counts as nolad or not if it goes into the meat. But the Mishnah Berurah is makel. The Mishnah Berurah says no. If it melts into the meat, that's not nolad. Just like in the Gemara, if you put ice in your coke and it goes into the coke, it's not nolad because it goes into a pre-existing liquid. The same applies if it goes into a pre-existing solid. That's just a chiddush. If you let something melt into a pre-existing liquid, that's not nolad. What if you let it melt into a pre-existing solid? That's also not nolad. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, you can't melt it with your hands, but if you just put it on and it melts in, let's say you put butter, and it melts into something, and it gets absorbed in a pre-existing solid, that's not a shash of nolad. And butter is already cooked. So that's not a shash of nolad. That's halacha l'maisa. So that's halacha l'maisa that if a liquid, you have a little liquid on something, it melts into a pre-existing object, then that's not a shash of nolad, whether it melts into a liquid, which is the case of the Gemara, or it melts into a solid. I got the Mishnah Berurah at the end here, just brings a whole bunch of random halachos. So let me just mention the three random halachos which Shavur brings at the end of Sifya Tes, and with that we will have our Siyam. I hope someone brought schnapps. First random halach he brings is the Kolbo, which we already discussed. Second random halach he brings is the Gemara in Beitza, Lama Dalet. What did it say? One person brings the fire, one person brings etc. One thing came out of that Gemara that's important. That, let me redo that Gemara. Sorry. If one person puts the fire, one person puts the wood, one person puts the pot, one person puts the water, one person puts the meat, one person puts the spice, and one person stirs it, they are all chayiv. Okay, but here's the other important case. One person puts the pot, and one person puts the water, and one person puts the meat, one person puts the spices, and one person puts the wood. And then someone else puts the fire. Then only the last one, and then the guy who stirs are chayiv. Meaning, obviously, if there's already a fire, I put food, I'm chayiv for mishal. If I put food before someone brings the fire, then I'm putter. However, what's important about this is here he's not so explicit about it, but the poskim say it's still also drabbanan to put the food even before the fire. Meaning, let's say the guy's about to light the fire, and I put the food there, and then the guy lights the fire, that's still an issur d'rabbanan. Still an issur d'rabbanan to be goring bishul by putting the food before the fire comes. That's like he was only makel by the question of the sefer truma of molid. By bishul mamish, it's not, it's of course not the raisa if I put it before there's a fire, but it's still issur d'rabbanan. The last thing is this samovar chumra. Okay, last thing in Shin Yud Ches, the last Mishnah Berurah says that Arkti Bishlam call a samovar that was cooked in Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to take water out of it on Shabbos if it still has coals inside. Why? Lefize Yishazark Shiyishav Lishos when a Kli Bishol Shalonu Kodem Shkia, etc. What does he say? They had a certain kind of mulyar, a mulyar in those days. It's like a samovar, some sort of kettle. If it has no coals, you're allowed to take water from the Shabbos. You're not allowed to drink water from the Shabbos if it has coals. Why? Because in the old days, this kind of kli, if you took out all the water and left the coals, what would happen to an empty kli full of coals without water?
Heat up the kli.
And what would happen then? It'll crack. Everyone knows, go tell your wife, I'm going to put a pot without water on the stove for an hour. Say it's crazy, you'll break the pot. Coals again in their kinds of kelim. Right? There are certain kelim they had that if you took out the water but left the heat source, it would break. And therefore, it's usher. Why? Because we make a gzeira. You make a gzeira that you might be afraid your kli will break and then you'll add water. And you'll be mechallel Shabbos. Now, is that relevant to us? Do we have any kelim that will break if you just take the water out of them and leave them hot on Shabbos? I think, you know what's relevant to us? You know the... Not the... What kind of kumkum? Not the pump pot. I assume the pump pot knows what it's doing. You know the regular old-fashioned kumkum with the spigot on the bottom? Yeah. Anyone remember how that old-fashioned kumkum looks? Here's the kumkum. Where's the faucet? Is it on the bottom?
Yeah.
No, it's over here. Near the bottom. You know why it's near the bottom and not on the bottom? Because there's always be some water left, because if you take out all the water, it'll break. And what do foolish people do? They tilt it. So if you want to tilt it on coal, that's home economics. That's between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam, how careful you are with your money. But what if you tilt it on Shabbos? I think that's Pashut and Issur d'Rabbanan based on this Mishnah Berurah. Why? Because then you'll remember it'll break, and you'll be afraid it'll break, and you'll either add water or unplug it, and you'll come to Mechallel Shabbos.
They experiment and see.
No, the truth is that it's you're right, because on the newer ones are fancier. They have like a circuit breaker inside to cut it off so that it won't break. It'll just like you'll have to repress the button. But at least in the old-fashioned kumkums, I think it's usher midrabbanan to tilt it on Shabbos. Why? If you want to tilt it during the week, let me give you advice. Tilt it during the week and unplug it and you're fine. But if you want to tilt it on Shabbos, I'm just finishing shiur. If you want to tilt it on the one day, If you want to tilt it on Shabbos, it's also midor banan. Why? Same zera applies. All of a sudden, you'll remember it's going to break, and then you'll chal Shabbos to save it from breaking. And therefore, you have to be very nizer not to tilt it on Shabbos, unless you're sure you bought the kind of the safety cutoff, which some of the modern ones have. But I'm not such a bucky in modern life, so you have to check whether they all have safety cutoffs or not. But at the very least, in the classic kinds that break if you empty them out too much, it should be also to tilt it on Shabbos. And even during the weekday, I would avoid it, because you don't want it to break. But on Shabbos, it should be mamas of zero drop button. Okay. Who brought the schnapps? And we'll now go to Chazara. The Bechin is the last day of January. Merit Hashem B'Shah Tova. And really, take advantage of Chazara. The point of Chazara is not just to memorize it so you'll get a good mark on the test, which would be a useful idea, but also that when you learn it, you learn each piece. But you know how Torah works. Each piece depends on each other piece, and every sugya depends on each other sugya. And that's why you can never learn a sugya right, because to know any particular halacha, you have to know all the halachas. But to know all the halachas, you have to learn each halacha. That's why Hashem invented Chazara. You learn each halacha, but you don't necessarily know, have the big picture. You don't know how it fits together. The avod of Chazara, bein b'gmar, bein b'halacha, is not just to memorize. The avod of Chazara is to take the pieces and put them into a big picture so that you really shall lay on the material. And that's why, you know, I'm around, I'm expecting people, every Chazara people come with deeper insights than they have when they ask me questions the whole semester long. Because now you can really understand on a deeper level by seeing the parts in context of the whole, and the whole is the sum of its parts. And we will continue share with some Rishon Gimel after the Bechina. Amen. Shem Tova, Umutz.
Amen. Amen.
Fix it around.